Welcome to Radio IQ's Virginia on Demand for this Friday. It's a daily podcast from Radio IQ featuring the top stories across Virginia. I'm Jeff Bossert. Enrollment is declining in schools across Virginia, and as Michael Pope tells us, projections show that it will continue to drop in the next few years.
When the folks at the University of Virginia's Weldon Cooper Center for Public Service were looking at public school enrollment last year, they expected it to decline by about 10,000 students. It ended up declining by 15,000 students. Here's research analyst Zach Jackson.
That is the second largest single year decline in enrollment over the past few decades.
He says declining enrollment is driven by declining birth rates.
The number of children born annually in Virginia has mostly fallen since births began to noticeably decline in 2008. That means that smaller kindergarten classes have entered the school divisions, and those smaller classes have made up more and more of the K-12 system, pushing enrollment downwards.
By 2030, the Weldon Cooper Center projects enrollment is anticipated to decline by about 40,000 students.
Virginia saw nearly three decades of uninterrupted growth before the pandemic. That's obviously changed, and now we're looking at a period of decline. It's very new, this decline in the grand scheme of things. But over this five-year period, we see enrollment settling back to levels that we saw in the 2000s.
That's not a sudden freefall, he says, but a steady retreat, one that will require school divisions make adjustments rather than a complete overhaul. Michael Pope.
1,200 bills were passed during the General Assembly session. Up in a little bit, some analysis from Radio IQ Politics' Jeff Shapiro and Michael Pope, digging into the week in politics and government. After a number of high-profile incidents where pedestrians were killed by drivers, Richmond and the Department of Motor Vehicles are starting a public awareness campaign. The project, announced Thursday, is called See and Be Seen. It includes broadcast, digital, and billboard ads encouraging drivers to slow down and look for pedestrians. It also encourages pedestrians to be aware and visible. The city has also installed traffic cameras and updated pedestrian signals at certain intersections. A memorial has been scheduled for an ROTC instructor who was shot and killed at Old Dominion University last week. The final viewing for Lieutenant Colonel Brandon Shaw will be held at a funeral home in Portsmouth Saturday. His celebration of life will be at Chartway Arena in Norfolk Sunday. Services are open to the public. Shaw was killed in a classroom on the ODU campus March 12th in what FBI Director Kash Patel described as an act of terrorism. The suspect died while being subdued by ROTC students. Virginia's Democratic senators voted differently on President Donald Trump's nominee for the top seat at the National Security Agency. The split is highlighted as incumbent Senator Mark Warner heads into a re-election campaign this fall, and support for any Trump appointee scare off some more progressive Virginia voters. Brad Kuttner has this story.
General Joshua Rudd was confirmed as director of U.S. Cyber Command and the National Security Agency last week, with Virginia's two senators voting differently on his nomination.
I had a good meeting in my office with the general and felt like he was a good leader, but not without cyber experience.
That's Senator Tim Kaine, who said he was impressed by Rudd's background, but said he lacked a specialization to meet the agency's high-tech needs. For Senator Mark Warner, it was about Rudd's perceived allegiance to the country, not to Trump.
And this is where I made a gut decision, based upon his record, would not do inappropriate things, even if some people in the White House asked him to do that. And I hate to use that as a criteria, but that is the criteria I think we have to ask.
Warner pointed to recent appointments he and Kaine agreed to for U.S. attorney positions in Virginia's federal courts. Both have since been fired or left the office for undisclosed reasons. For Warner, the same standard applied to Rudd.
I believe that General Rudd would get fired rather than do something inappropriate.
Support for Trump nominees may dog some candidates this fall, but University of Mary Washington political science professor Stephen Farnsworth said Werner's vote aligns with the incumbent's long-running centrist bona fides.
The decision to vote for a Trump nominee may help persuade some centrist voters to back Warner in November.
In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
Legislation now awaiting the governor's signature would make it easier for faith groups to build affordable housing. Toby Cox of member station WHRO has this story.
The bill would waive rezoning requirements for faith groups to build housing on their tax-exempt property. Sheila Herlihy Hennessy with the Virginia Interfaith Center for Public Policy says the rezoning process doesn't guarantee approval and is expensive.
As congregations are shrinking, they can consider this housing as a path forward to continue living their mission and to serve the community.
Herlihy Hennessy says localities pushed back when it was introduced the past 2 years. But this year, she says lawmakers saw the need.
We've had local control and local authority over zoning for decades, and yet we still find ourselves with a shortage of nearly 300,000 homes in the Commonwealth. That's not acceptable.
She says the bill has guardrails to ensure local standards, like for historic districts, still apply. Toby Cox, WHRO News.
In NCAA basketball tournament action Thursday, VCU erased a 19-point second-half deficit to stun 6-seeded North Carolina 82-78, winning in overtime. It marked the largest first-round comeback in tournament history. VCU won its first NCAA tournament game since 2016 and moves on to play Illinois Saturday night. The UVA women's team edged Arizona State 57-55, their first tournament win since 2018. They'll play Georgia tomorrow. And this afternoon, the UVA men's team takes on Wright State. The Virginia Tech women's team faces Oregon. Montgomery County's chief deputy has been named the next sheriff. Robert Page was named to the position Thursday. He'll start April 1st. He joined the sheriff's department in 2013 and has also served as a full-time member of the area's regional fugitive task force. Page takes over for Sheriff C.H. Parton, who announced his retirement earlier this month. The city of Hopewell has a new city manager. Vincent Jones will fill the role. He's currently a deputy administrator in Loudoun County. The previous Hopewell city manager was fired in May and later filed a racial discrimination lawsuit against the city. There's about a month left to vote on Virginia's redistricting amendment. But if you've checked your mail or watched a video on your phone, you probably know that already. As the campaigns for and against intensify, so does that language and imagery used in their ads. Brad Kuttner has this report on the nature of that speech and what both sides could learn from a recent high-profile lawsuit.
A billboard in rural Page County features a quote from President Donald Trump, "Take over the voting," with an ask to vote yes. And in a text message sent to Virginia voters, a quote from Governor Abigail Spanberger criticizing gerrymandering is followed by a request to vote no. Both ads take their respective subjects' earlier comments out of context, and both are likely legal, according to University of Virginia law professor Kevin Cope.
Under U.S. constitutional law, we have strong protections for speech, even misleading speech, even defamatory speech. So there's a very narrow exception, and there are high barriers to an allegedly defamed plaintiff bringing a successful defamation claim.
The traditional solution is more speech. More ads is the most common, but filing a lawsuit under the narrow exception Cope mentioned, called false light, is another.
Not necessarily a false statement, but a misleading impression that would be highly offensive to a reasonable person.
You need not look further than Adams County, Ohio, to see how such a suit could play out.
Mine eyes seen the corruption of the Adams County cops stealing money.
That's rapper Afro Man's song about a botched police raid of his house. He wrote an album about the raid, insulted the cops involved, and it went viral. The police sued for defamation, but Wednesday a jury found Afro Man not guilty on all counts. Cope said such lawsuits come with their own risks.
They're likely to blow back and to call attention to the matter in ways the victim, the plaintiff, doesn't want to.
In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
1,200 bills were passed during this year's General Assembly session. They're now sitting on the governor's desk. Michael Pope and Radio IQ politics analyst Jeff Shapiro take a look at some of those and discuss the week that was in state government and politics.
All right, a lot of news to get to this week. The first week after the Virginia General Assembly adjourned and left town. But Jeff Shapiro, they left town without writing a budget. Now, Democrats have the trifecta. They've got the governor's office, the House, and the Senate, and yet they could not figure out what they're doing on the budget.
This is not a good look for the party that controls every corner of Virginia's government. This is the 11th time since 2000 that the General Assembly has failed to complete a budget in time for the close of a legislative session. Democrats are guilty of this now. Republicans have been guilty of this as well when they were in charge, when they had the trifecta. The big hang up here between the House and the Senate, tax breaks for those electricity gobbling data centers. The Senate doesn't like them, wants to use the money for public employee salaries, teacher compensation, healthcare, basic services. House is supportive of continued tax breaks, as is the governor. But there's a chance that all of this can be wrapped up. Certainly, this is the interest of the legislature by the time it returns next month for the so-called reconvened or spring session.
So Virginia has a new governor, and now is the time when she's really put to work. She's really got to start earning that paycheck because she's got 1,200 bills on her desk, and she's got to make a decision on what she wants to do with them. Does she want to sign them? Does she want to veto them, maybe amend them? Jeff Shapiro, what's on her desk?
That's 1,208 bills, Michael, to be precise. Another 700 or so have been disposed of. But now that the governor's through her first session of the legislature, now she's plunging into another baptism by fire, and that is bill review, and she only has a month to get the job done. She will have three options: to sign bills into law, to veto them or reject them, or propose amendments, revisions to these bills. There's lots on her desk. That includes, for example, the a commercial market for cannabis, a very closely followed and hotly debated bill, an idea that's been batted around for at least 4 or 5 years.
One bill that is on the governor's desk that's causing a lot of discussion up in Northern Virginia is this idea that you would put a casino in Tyson's Corner, part of Fairfax County. The governor's got to make a decision on that. But Jeff Shapiro, it looks to me like the Fairfax County Board of Supervisors is kind of standing strong against this idea.
Oh, absolutely. And it's become deeply personal between Jeff McKay, the chair of the Board of Supervisors, and Scott Serville, the state senator from Fairfax, who's also the Democratic majority leader in the Senate. There's a deep division over this proposed casino. It is entirely inconsistent with the way the Fairfax Supes and a good number of Fairfax residents believe the county should comport itself. It's probably not surprising there's a good deal of local opposition. We're talking about one of the bluest counties on the planet, one of the wealthiest, also with some of the highest education rates. Jeff McKay has even suggested that the Board of Supervisors might refuse to put this matter on the Fairfax ballot because it, of course, is subject to the approval or the rejection of Fairfax voters.
All right. That's all the time that we've got for this week. My name is Michael Pope, and we have been joined by politics analyst and UVA scholar Jeff Shapiro. Talk to you next week.
Have a great weekend.
Couple of chances for rain lie ahead and very warm this weekend. Looking at the forecast today, cloud coverage will increase, possibly a couple of showers later on. Windy too, highs in the upper 50s to around 72 for Roanoke. Tonight, spotty showers, some rumbles of thunder, a little breezy, lows in the upper 40s to mid 50s. Fairly cloudy Saturday, few showers possible in the southwest, and more clearing later on, a little breezy. High temperatures in the mid-60s to mid-70s across the region. Fairly sunny Sunday, little breezy and warm, highs in the mid-70s to low 80s. Thank you for listening to Virginia On Demand. A little reminder, subscribe and tell your friends about it. For Radio IQ, I'm Jeff Bossert.